Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is part two of episode 466 of the Distraction Pieces podcast. It's a birthday party special. I'm joined by Stu Whiffen and Cunt from Cunt and the Gang. If this is the first you're hearing of that, you probably want to go back and listen to part one. But if you got through part one and you're here, then I probably shouldn't have to give the warning. I will again, but a content warning. We're getting a bit drunk. Stu and Cunt have known each other a long time and they enjoy being a little bit offensive here and there. So brace yourselves if you're going forward. But I thoroughly enjoyed this night. And a big thank you to both of these lads for joining me for this birthday special. They've got an amazing podcast called Acceptable in the 80s that I can't recommend enough. And yeah, I did all the usual plugs on part one, so I'll leave them on this one. But I will be doing some birthday week streams over at twitch.tv/ScroobiusPipio. So come and have a look at some of them. Friday night, I've got the biggest TPI Friday yet. TPI Friday is a thing I do over on the stream. There's no games involved. I'm not playing computer games. It's just the best Friday night of your lives. So if you've not tried out any of the Twitch stuff yet, come over for TPI Friday. It's normally a 7 o'clock start. Sometimes I'll start a little early, but you want to get there from the start for this one because it's a hell of an evening. And this one's a birthday party special. So come along, join us. But for now, this is part two of episode 466 of the Distraction Pieces podcast with Stu Whiffen and Cunt and the Gang. Down onto 88?
Yeah.
Now, this is, again, loads of memories of Only Way Is Up was getting a lot of play in my household. My brother was the biggest Kylie Minogue fan ever at this period. So,
was your brother older?
Yeah.
How old are you? What's your birthday?
I'm 40.
It's going to be your 40th?
No, I'm 40 now.
Oh, right.
My 40th during the pandemic.
Right. Oh, okay.
So I got to dodge any celebrations.
Right. So he's 41. Okay. 41. And what's he in? 44?
Yeah. He'll turn 44. He's 43 at the moment.
Right. Oh, so he would have just been getting pubes when Kylie come out.
Yeah.
He had a lot of me time, didn't he?
Completely understand. We had a video. He had the Kylie video.
Bet he did.
Bet that got a lot of watching.
Yeah, there were certain bits of it that had been paused, and then every time you watched it, it just kind of like went all distortionally.
At the mess with the tracking.
At number six here, S Express. When I worked in HMV, not at the Lakeside one, actually, I became like management at the Beckton one. I was a team leader or whatever, and I was in charge of interviews, and I'd get people in for the Christmas rolls and that. And you must have done stuff like this before, where you've got to go through CVs, and it's fucking all written by kids who don't know how to, like, it's not enjoyable. I'm reading one, and this guy was a little bit older, and he was like, he's going backwards. So last year I was doing this, the year before I was doing this, blah, blah. And then he's got 87 to 93. I toured the world as a dancer for S Express and was in the S Express theme video. But it was like, obviously I got him for an interview, gave him a job immediately. He was awful. God love him. God love him. He was awful. But the best thing I've ever read in a CV for an HMV. Just like, in this period, everything else is like retail jobs, all this kind of thing. In this period, I toured the world as a dancer for S Express.
Wonderful. Hell.
Including dancing on top of the Pops for S Express Day.
You'd want to make that being on Top of the Pops, wouldn't you?
100%. I gave him the job immediately. He'd struggle to put out a single tray of DVDs. He'd get bored. Why? Of course he'd get bored. He's used to being on the fucking road.
Oh, it's rubbish going back to real life, isn't it?
Proper.
It's really shit.
Proper.
It's a good top 10, this one.
Got Jackson in there with Dirty Diana.
That's a good one, that one. And my Lee Antonio's at number three with Nothing's Going to Change My Love for You. Kim Wilde, You Came.
So, second best song.
Dirty, isn't it?
Well, it depends how you use the word came. Wouldn't it be You Cummed?
It's about time. It was three years ago that Palmer was knocking about saying he didn't mean to turn you on. A woman's allowed to have.
Well, I think
hold him to account.
I think Wilde's playing at Cliffs.
Oh, is she?
They've announced it. Yeah, she's doing.
I went and see Wilde with Andy, didn't I, a couple of years back?
She's got some songs, isn't she?
Yeah.
Was she good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
BVSMP, I Need You. That really reminds me of, like, first hanging around with girls. When we was hanging around with, like, Artie and Piper and that.
That was a song you had to pretend to like, yeah. if you wanted girls to think you were a sensitive guy.
It was like a... Do you know it?
Really? No, not
it's
at all.
It's so shit.
It's like... It's got... It's really, like... It's like sort of... lazy sort of... LL Cool J's I Need Love.
Do you know what I was going to say? It's like a wafty version of that.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yo, hey, check this out. I need you. Sha-la-la-la-la. Oh, yeah, but I remember...
How my girl's going to be shouting at the podcast now, going, that's a brilliant record.
Tune. He got some wet digits to that. Oh, everything but the girl. I don't want to talk about it. Little cover of Rod. I love her voice.
That's your catchphrase, isn't it?
What?
I don't want to talk about it.
I Want Your Love by Transvision Vamp.
That's your catchphrase.
I wish you wanted my love. Wendy James was lovely, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was, wasn't she?
Oh, Wendy.
1989 was the year I left school.
I was 8.
Was it?
Yeah.
I turned 8.
You must have left school in 89.
I don't know. I'm confused about what
year. Yeah, but you've got a couple of like years when you went travel. Was it years? How long did you go travelling for?
I can't believe you shooed that into his fucking birthday podcast, you petty cunt. Oh, please, that bit of experience I've got in France when I went away, I used when we all went to France. Such a cunt.
Oh. Is there anything in 89 that you're in enjoying? That's not the best Kylie song. Jive Bunny at number one, Sonia at number three.
I'll tell you what, if you hear...
We're in the Bros era.
Have you heard that Sonia song lately?
Not lately.
You'll Never Stop Me From Loving You, right?
It's a belter.
I know the song.
If it was sung by
instantly.
A bloke, it would be the rapiest song you've ever fucking heard. Worse than any of
yeah,
Robert
it's
Palmer's.
Quite aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like basically hanging around outside someone's house wanking in the bushes.
That would have been a better title.
I'm just going to jot that down for the next album.
French Kiss by Lil Louis. Have you, do you know what that is?
No.
So it's this like really incredible bit of house music.
It's Je T'aime for the rave generation.
It's
isn't
exactly
it?
What it is. It's just this really slow sort of like plodding bit of like house music with this panting over it. We done a Pizzazz reunion once, and I went to Just, Big Papa Joe, I went, can you do me a favour, Just? Can you just keep an eye on the decks while I have a quick piss? And I put that on, then it's 21 minutes, but then basically it just goes, nch, 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 and then it's like, and I just thought, well, I ain't got to rush me piss because it's like 20 minutes long, this. And when I come back, I mean, we're all friends with our mutual friend, Justin. He's not an aggressive guy. It's the most aggressive I've ever seen him. Just fucking why would you leave me with this plan? It's so horrible. He was looking at me. It's just someone just spunking up. He was like really upset. I was like, sorry, only like French Kiss. Great record.
I used to put on the 12-inch causing a commotion, Madonna, if I wanted a piss at a disco.
We've all got
like 10 minutes 54 or something.
Loaded, Primal Scream's a good one. Resurrection, Stone Roses, good piss record.
You got to get that break in. Is Wind Beneath My Wings the most arrogant song ever written? It's meant to be like a nice, friendly song, but it's basically saying, I'm fucking great.
Yeah.
But you helped. You did your bit too. It's proper going, oh, it must have been cold there in my shadow, eh?
That phrase, fucking it must legend. Have been cold there in my shadow. Like, who says that?
I'm such a legend. It must have been
I've
hard.
I've thought that about you must sometimes, have been hard. But I've never actually fucking said it.
I reckon I said that to Castle every day for years.
No wonder he's got a nervous twitch he can't get rid of. On our own, the Bobby Brown one was the Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Mm.
That's got a big rap in the middle, hasn't it?
Yeah. That's all right. I like Bobby Brown. But I want to talk...
Yeah, you want to talk about number 8, do you?
Yeah. Because I said to Pip when he came round and he gave me the list, I said, have you heard of the London Boys?
Have you done some prep before I got round?
No, here? Nothing snidey. I just looked
he
at
made
that.
A few notes.
Are you complicit with this?
No, I've made literally a couple of notes. That's it, and I put one there to ask you about the London boys, because
he's basically just written a few of them bigger so he doesn't have to get his glasses out. He doesn't want to miss them.
So and Pip didn't know the London boys were. So how would you explain the London boys? Because you was a huge fan.
I was a huge fan, but I bought a couple of the singles.
You picked me up in your car wearing a black armband.
Mark of respect. It died.
Oh, no. I just want to get in your car. Why have you got a black armband? One of the London boys.
Do you know what? I've always had a bit of a soft spot for multiracial duos. I think it started with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. Charles and Eddie.
London boys.
And like, obviously, like,
you they know, weren't from London, were they?
No, they weren't. They were from Europe.
They were Mediterranean, weren't they?
I think there was so much racial division in the 80s. The idea of a black bloke and a white bloke being in a band together called the London Boys, they're all pulling in the same direction, and then they're in a fucking tragic car crash and both get taken out. You're like, that's sad, isn't it?
You had a go at me because I laughed that you had a black armband on, and I went, why is that? And you went, London Boys, and I just laughed. And you got all fucking serious about it.
I think that says more about what a cunt you are.
I think you exposed yourself there a little bit, mate.
Well.
Oh, the London boys. Shall we go on to 90?
I mean, surely you're getting pubes by now, Pip.
Yeah,
Turtle
90,
Power, right?
I said 90 just rings everything in this list. Turtle Power was a huge one for me. I was a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan. I think that song comes into my head regularly for some reason. I've no idea why. Just the T-U-R-T-L-E power. Just get excited. I love it. Hanky Panky was weirdly... Was that like part of the Dick Tracy soundtrack?
Yeah.
And that whole album, again, my dad loved. He had a really awkward moment at the Dartford Bridge because it was when it was actually people in there that you give your money to. And he's driving along just blasting his Madonna album as he pulls up and winds down his windows. He realises he's on Hanky Panky. And it's not the most macho of songs ever, but that's like, here you go, there's my £2, mate, thank you, bye. Just get on this road. Love it. And Tom's Diner is a banger. Oh, literally everything in this list. MC Hammer, You Can't Touch This, Naked in the Rain, Mona by Craig McLaughlin. And I loved a bit of Hey Mona. Him cashing in on the Kylie and Jason and Steph and Dennis.
They all had a go, didn't they?
They all had a go.
Don't see much of McLaughlin anymore.
Even less of Check 1-2.
No. Did McLaughlin do something wrong?
What?
No. But I think he done something.
What?
Don't know. Might need a little Google, but I think he might have done something wrong.
This is very vague.
Yeah. What? The minor traffic violation?
No. You carry on. I'll have a little look.
Did he run the London boys off the road? Nasty cunt.
Have a little check 1-2.
It must have been Love. Roxette was a thing for a minute, wasn't it?
What film was that? Pretty Woman?
Dunno. Was it?
Yeah.
I hated Roxette. I really fucking hated Roxette. Because I'd started getting a little bit of alternative music by now.
Yeah.
But then I've gone back and reevaluated some of the late 80s stuff, and I've got a begrudging respect for the quality of the fucking songwriting on some of their major label 80s hits.
Just
that you
the huge
just,
pop. Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
I did a little version of that actually through lockdown on my little Corona clubs, because obviously the first line is "Lay a whisper on my pillow,"
right,
which just lends itself to a whole song about chocolate bars.
Of course it does.
But I think it was called "Must Have Been Fudge."
I love it. I love it. I'd love it if someone laid a whisper on my pillow.
Unless it's a euphemism for a shit.
Yeah.
January 2018, a joint investigation by Fairfax Media and the Australian Broadcasting Corporation reported that McLaughlin had been accused of sexual harassment by several actresses during his performing career. Three actresses from 2014 Australian production of Rocky Horror Show made allegations against McLaughlin. He responded, "Frankly, they seem to be simple inventions, perhaps made for financial reasons, perhaps to gain notoriety. In either event, they're to my best of my knowledge, utterly and entirely false." Did he get done for it?
Oh, dear. Oh, Craig. I'm more astounded that Judge Stu's keeping his finger on the pulse of what's happening with Craig McLaughlin.
I'm more worried about the Czech one too.
They're finished, didn't they?
2021, fresh allegations were made about the actor's behaviour.
Adam Marty of Fulham.
You an MC Hammer fan?
Nah.
He became an MMA manager, isn't he?
Is he?
A manager of fighters in MMA, yeah. He's looked after a few of the UFC lads.
I remember seeing, like, years ago, he was at UFC. Yeah.
He was a manager. I think he looked after Tito for a while.
Last I heard, he was a priest.
He was a priest for a bit. He stopped to become a preacher, didn't he? He stopped rapping to become a preacher. He didn't stop being a priest to become a preacher. That wouldn't have been much of a change. Need to cut that off. I'm going over it. He stopped rapping to become a preacher, and then he became an MMA manager.
He's a bit of a fly by night, isn't he?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Well, he just keeps...
Give anything a go.
Flitting from fucking thing, like you. Do you know what I mean? Kind of start with one thing, don't learn it properly, don't work out for you. You say, oh, it ain't worked out, it's because you ain't giving it a proper go, and then you move on to the fucking next thing.
Am I a fly by night?
Yeah. You had every fucking instrument throughout our teens, like tried it for 2 seconds. Oh, I can't play it. No, it's because you haven't fucking put any fucking time into it. That's why you can't.
I was looking
play.
At guitars last night thinking,
yeah. No, forget it.
One.
Too old.
I give it a go. Fucking fly by night.
Oh, fucking hell.
Well, 1991, you could have picked any month, really, and Bryan Adams would be number one with Everything I Do It For You, right? That was
he was number one for the whole year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
More Than Words at number two.
More Than Words. I love More Than Words.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it.
But that's your age.
Best song about a hand job ever. That's all it's about. It's saying, yeah, he keeps saying, like, More Than Words. It's like, close your eyes and just reach out your hand. He's saying, if you couldn't say I love you, how would you show that you love me? And then he's saying, like, just close your eyes and just reach out your hands. And it's all, yeah, it's about having a, it's about talking someone into a hand job.
Wow.
100%.
I don't know whether in this day and age, since, you know, being in the post hashtag Me Too thing, whether I actually agree about talking someone into a hand dog. So,
hand dog
expression.
No, I completely agree. That's what that song's about.
Oh, I'm going to make a motion to get that song cancelled on those grounds. But actually, the grounds I want it cancelled is because it's fucking appalling.
I always say no guilty pleasures, but that's as close as I come to liking a song ironically.
Yeah.
Because it is just, I hated it for years, but now every time it comes on, I imagine some bloke at a party and it's got late and he just gets out the acoustics, go ding, ding, ding.
Get the guitar.
And I'm like, yes.
I just can't enjoy it on any fucking level. There was something about More Than Words. Was we DJing at alternative clubs at this time? And people would ask for it.
Nirvana would have happened.
Did we ever do a little erection section in the club?
No. Pip
would
did.
Nirvana have happened?
91, yeah.
91. Was that just as Nirvana were happening?
Like, yeah. Nevermind dropped in 91 or was that 92?
92, wasn't it?
92, yeah. But you tried to bring back the erection section,
didn't he tells
you?
Me this all the time. I've got no memory of it, but bollocks. I love it. No, I love it. Honestly, you talk about it on Hardcore Listener all the time. I honestly
fucking
don't
did.
Remember that being a thing. But I'm sure, no, I'm not questioning it at all.
See,
I'm just saying I don't remember it. That's definitely the kind of thing I would do.
I have this 100% memory. Kind of,
every time you say it, I think, I don't feel I can take credit for that, but I shall. Yeah, I wanted to bring the erection section back. Just play some slowies.
I had this memory of our mate Nick when we used to DJ at the William Edge Youth Club Disco.
Yeah.
Coming up, like, you know, as an 11-year-old kid in a green tank top and spiky hair asking for some slowies. And he maintains that never happened.
He asked for She's Like the Wind from Dirty Dancing, didn't he?
I don't know whether I have memory of that. I remember him asking for some slowies.
Mm.
I love it. I reckon the erection section idea probably didn't last long because, and this is now getting serious again, I found out that R. Kelly's a piece of shit.
Would you think that was the first one
so
you
I
played?
Reckon I would have gone for some... I would have wanted to play Bump and Grow or something like that. Something along them lines. Ignition, that's a bit more up-tempo, isn't it? But just one of those songs. Because I remember early days of Lizards, I loved playing a bit of R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And then I read more and more about him and I was like, I just don't want to play that anymore. And now, thankfully, he's been sent under for the rest of his fucking horrible life.
So did you ever get an erection section?
I don't know. I don't think...
No, as you.
I was a youth. I went to an all-boys school, Les.
Well, that's an all-boys disco.
That's a very different disco. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but because of that, we didn't really have school discos and stuff of that nature, because it's not, why would you? That was, school discos were all about asking a girl to dance. And if there's no girls, yeah. So no, we never really had that. We probably would have in my primary school, but that would have been more just kids being kids. It wouldn't have even been at the erection section.
Couldn't you all just took your tops off and danced the London Boys?
Oh, yeah, we did
that. Did you ever, like, would you weekly, because we used to go to a club called Pizzazz in Grays, and I think just by saying it was called Pizzazz in Grays says everything you need to know about it.
But, Pizzazz.
But you, like, every week, like, if only for tonight, oh, you can reach me by sailboat. Like, they'd all be on, wouldn't they? Would you ask a girl every week?
No, I don't know. I maybe have memories of asking a girl about three times and being knocked back a couple of times and then getting one time when I did get a little dance.
I don't reckon I was a lot more than that, but like...
And now we've come to the end of the road.
Million love songs later.
Have you heard I'll Make Love to You lately? It's so rapey.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that. Hell. Was that Boyz II Men?
Yeah.
It was a little one on the end. The one that had
that's
that really
like the Muppets.
he was like a sexually charged beaker.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't into him.
It's because he had to go at the end and he's so fired up.
I know.
You feel like at the end, doesn't he? Proper exploding when he finally gets to have his song. He's like, I've been waiting for ages.
He's like the fourth leg in a relay.
It's really weird. As you were talking about going and asking girls to dance and that, I got the briefest flash, and I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's a real memory, but the briefest flash of being in one of those disco situations and being too nervous. I can't even get this out. Being too nervous to go and ask a girl to dance and thinking, I'll just go and dance and they'll ask me. To go and have a little boogie on the dance floor doing my moves. Obviously, no one came and asked me. I was just a lonely boy on the dance floor going, it's all right, they'll come to me. I'm a bit of a pied piper when it comes to dancing.
Build it and they shall come.
Yeah, exactly. You came.
So where did you go clubbing then? Did you have any kind of like shit clubbing experiences as a
teenager?
No, not
really. By the time I was into going to clubs, I probably went to gigs before I went to clubs, and by the time I was doing either, I was an alternative kid. So it was Pink Toothbrush, it was Hollywood's in Romford. So, and Chris will contest to this. Like, I got to know Chris, and he came from a circle of friends who were into a bit of Indian stuff, but would also go jumping jacks and all these ones in over Baz Vegas.
Yeah.
I'd refuse. I'd be like, the weekend that we're doing the, and it's fucking snobby of me. And like, I now look back, I would have had a laugh. I would have got pissed and dicked about. But I was such a music nerd at that point that I was like, Dad will come along to the Rush or to Hollywood's, and then we'll, when it gets to the weekend that they're going to Jumping Jacks, where we're like, no, I'll stay in. Thank you very much.
We had some quite wretched nights in them fucking clubs, though.
I don't think I've ever had a good night in any of them clubs.
But then when we used to go to Club Art in Southend, which was like an alternative night, whoever was driving would go in there, have one pint of weak watered down piss, just
watered down Miller.
You'd do one walk round and then just go, I'm just going to go and wait in my car. And you'd just sit in your car, wouldn't you?
For 5 hours.
Brutal. Brutal.
Tell them what happened when I waited in my car.
Sorry if you've heard this one before. There was this one night we went in there. He had one pint of weak watered down Miller, done one loop, and he went, I'm just going to go and wait in my car. So he sat there in his Volvo for 5 hours until the end of the club. And me and Strand, who we'd gone up there with, pulled. Like, in an unlikely series of events, there were these girls who one of their mum and dads was away. And so we pulled these girls and they said, do you want to come back to ours? So obviously, like, this never fucking happens. So
100%.
Like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
And then we've come out at the end of the night and he's sat there in his Volvo parked outside the club. And I thought, oh, God, I've got to go and have that awkward conversation. And so I've gone over and I've gone, Stu, we met these girls and I said, like, do we want to go back to their house? And he just went, you cunt, like this, and just wound his window up and just drove off, like, you know, like, and for him, the tyres screeched. That only time I've ever known that fucking happen. And he said, like,
the one and only time.
He said he drove home all the way, like, faster than usual, thinking, I hope I crash into a bridge. That'll fucking show him.
I can't believe you'd all just sober one and go and sit in the car. That's just dire.
It was so wretched in there.
The other ones were never going to pull.
Yeah.
That was a given. Yeah, our driving fucking pulled.
Unbelievable. Shall we go on to 92?
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about the fact that there was a time that Jimmy Nail had a music career. How weird was that? I remember Ain't No Doubt. I remember Crocodile Shoes.
Yeah, I mean, that had dropped from number one. It was a number one hit, Ain't No Doubt.
Yeah.
But did Crocodile Shoes do number one? It did, didn't it?
Possibly. Did, because a few years before, he'd done a cover of Love Don't Live Here Anymore. Can you remember?
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't, that was it. He was just sort of dabbled with it, didn't he? And then Ain't No Doubt, he became a proper pop star, didn't he?
It was a big old record, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was a big old unit as well, wasn't he? Yeah. Jimmy Nail.
He was a bloke.
Yeah.
He was 100%. A proper bloke.
He was hard as nails.
Well, his name literally was Nail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't
and,
get
and Jimmy. Yeah. They're both well hard names, aren't they?
Yeah.
Jim and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Number nine, Stu Whiffin with I Drove All Night. Fucking furious.
It's interesting to see Sesame's Treat, Smarties. You familiar with that one, Pip?
No.
It was when, like, the Prodigy released, like, Charlie.
Yeah.
That everyone sampled adverts. Yeah, so it was like, jing, 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 jing.
Everyone went back to the kids' program.
Yeah.
Because it was Trip to Toy.
Take a trip to Trumpton.
Trip to Trumpton, yeah.
Pew, Barney McGroup. It was like, it was loads of them.
Yeah, I remember a load of them.
They all fucking hit the charts, though, didn't they?
Yeah. Do you remember Shake Your Head by Was Not Was?
I do not.
Do you remember that, yeah?
Yeah.
Because like,
was that Kim Basinger?
Kim Basinger and Ozzy Osbourne sung that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I liked Was Not Was. They were weird. Was that the one that the B-side was Dad, I'm in Jail?
No, Spy in the Ass of Love, the B-side was, Hi, Dad, I'm calling you from jail. I love it here, Dad. I'm calling you from jail. I remember putting it on by accident.
Yeah, well, I remember you being absolutely fucking obsessed. Go, you've got to hear this record. It's called Dad, I'm in Jail.
They are fucking mental. Like, Don Was a really famous producer. He produced like loads of amazing musicians. And Was Not Was, but like, obviously you're familiar with
Walk the Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. And then they had like loads of other like mad fucking hits. And they were like a huge band. I saw them support Erasure.
Oh, really?
And, like, and they're fucking amazing live. And then this was like another kind of, it's a fucking bananas record, Shake Your Head.
Yeah.
And yeah, sung by Kim Basinger and Ozzy Osbourne. Weird fucking
record.
It's
a hell of a combination.
It really is. Achy Breaky Heart.
It's huge, wasn't it? I remember that. Oh, Billy, was that his only song, though, over here at least? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, did he have any more?
No. I definitely don't remember any more.
What do you think of Miley Cyrus?
I think she's all right.
Yeah, I think she's all right. I think she it was really popular for a while to really hate on her and Bieber. Because they were young and successful and maybe a little bit annoying, but I think she's all right. I think she's got some good songs.
Great voice.
Great voice, good songs, great talking voice. Her talking voice is mad. She's got the deepest voice in the world. It's brilliant.
She's made some great records with the Flaming Lips.
Yep.
I ain't got no beef with Miley Cyrus.
Let's move on tonight. That was a really serious move on then.
We all look like newsreaders.
No problem with...
So,
no problems with Miley Cyrus.
Before we move
1993.
On. Before we move on, LSI by the Shaman.
Love, Sex, Intelligence.
Oh, I do know that. I looked at that and thought, I've no idea what that is, but I remember Love, Sex, Intelligence.
Yeah. Well, they were massive, weren't they?
Yeah. And also, like, the idea of getting a song with the phrase, he's a good, on the top of the pops and into the fucking mainstream.
Number one.
He's just, fuck, I heard that on the radio the other day, and you're like, you forget how fucking subversive that is, because it would never be allowed now.
That was the most exciting thing for me at that point. I had my paper round, and I'd recorded the charts, and I'm walking on my paper round waiting, going, Is it going to be number one? And then when it got to,
or just hearing it. Hearers?
I don't know if it's good or bad now, but it fucking meant the world at that point. It was so naughty.
Yeah,
that's far naughtier than naughty. I Didn't Mean to Turn You On or PK, You Came or any of that.
Yeah.
So much naughtier because it's drugs.
You know, they were sat there in the studio just laughing at themselves.
Yeah.
This would be brilliant. Can you imagine if it got in the charts? Can you imagine if it got number one?
Because they were like a legit kind of indie crossover electronic band, weren't they? With like, do you know Moving Mountain?
Yeah.
Like, and obviously that would come quite a few years before that.
Yeah, Mr. C come on and they turned into like the Rave Aqua.
Yeah. That's a great show. Oh, dear.
It's a good record though, Ebenezer. Good. He's a fucking good record. And like, you know, fucking fair play to him for getting that past everyone and into the charts.
100%. Oh. That was a weird time, though, I guess, right? Because the charts were still figuring all this out. I said, because of Charlie Says and things like that, that were all these drug references or songs made for people to be on drugs. They didn't really know what was going on, I think. Like, it took them a minute to go, hang on. Yeah. Like the codes are getting through. Like, it's, it's a weird one. It's like... for the week that Cockney rhyming slang worked.
Yeah.
To keep secrets from there. Within a week, everyone's like, apples and stairs, yeah? Right, this isn't some complex code. But that week, fucking hell. 1993, was this around the time that you were making songs hating on Take That? Or
yeah, we'd wrote Take That I Can't by then, haven't we?
This we were already hating on them by now.
Long into your hatred of...
Number two is one of Cunt's favourite of her records. You love this, don't you?
Yeah, because, you know, I've lived on my own. And sometimes you just...
Living on my own by Freddie. I've realised half the time we're not even saying what the songs are. This is going to be awful for podcasters as we're all looking at our list, but yeah.
But sometimes when you've lived on your own, you just kind of sat there and you just sort of walk around, you feel like you want to break down and cry and... Like, the only thing to do is go, dee-do-dee-dee, I don't have no time for no monkey business, dee-do-dee-dee. And then you think to yourself, got to be some good times ahead. It's that gets you through.
Fair enough.
I'm going to be thinking dee-do-dee-dee constantly this evening. So I'm trying to get off to sleep. An impossible heat. Now, Four Non-Blondes, What's Up?
You're a big fan of that.
Easily my favourite song of that year. I adored that song. I'm not so sure anymore.
It's one of my least favourite records ever recorded. Yeah,
I can imagine.
She had a big gob.
And I thought she was the coolest person in the world as well. Loved that
goggles
song.
On her head. On like,
what's her name? Something Perry.
Linda Perry. I mean, she's gone on to become a fucking prolific songwriter, hasn't she?
She wrote loads of Pink's big hits, didn't she?
Yeah, she's
like
rubbish.
I love a bit of Pink. You take that back.
But it's horrible, that song.
Do you know what though? If you listen to the lyrics, it's quite subversive and it talks a really fucking good game.
You've changed.
No, but I hate it. I really fucking hate it. I really, really fucking hate it. And do you know what I hate most about it? Is the way it keeps slipping between falsetto and then like normal.
Yeah.
Rick in the morning, step outside, take a deep breath and forget. Like, just no.
Fucking chill out, Vic Reeves. Yeah, as I said, I can't defend it in any way, but that at that time, this was, I definitely got it on single, was all about it.
But I think when you're a kid and when you're a teenager, there's certain records that like fucking mean stuff to you that people can cunt them off all they like.
Yeah.
But it's not going to stop a meaning. Like, you know, like I'll tell you the prime fucking example you've always fucking cunted me off about, and there's about 20 examples of this. But Tarzan Boy,
no,
Baltimora.
Yeah.
You always go like, yeah, but you like that. You've done that all out all through our life.
I hear it at least once a week, and we won't go into great detail on this because Stu hates my wrestling fandom, but one of the wrestlers in AEW has got that as his walkout song. He originally had like a nonsense song.
Oh, right.
I thought I might be in some royalties there.
Weirdly, this wrestler, the dad was Luke Perry from 90210 and all that kind of thing.
I thought you were saying Four Non-Blondes.
That might have been a relative. But yeah, he had a regular song no one really knew, and then one day he started coming out to that and all the crowd...
Because
fucking love it.
Because Woes are good, aren't they?
Yeah, Woes are fucking good.
What's your favourite Woe?
It's that one. That is my favourite Woe.
Is it better than Howard Jones?
Whoa. Yeah.
What's your favourite Woe?
I'm trying to think.
Whoa. Whoa. That's yours?
Yeah, no, that's up there. It's like, whoa, building a bridge to your heart.
What's Duran Duran's wall? They must have had a woe.
Top five woes. You've got to do it.
Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me.
Is it? That's a la la la. That's a lovely kicking, isn't it?
Oh, you fucking...
Singing, whoa, whoa, la, la.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Is it a la? Is it a la now?
It's a la. A la's not a woe.
No, you're right. It's not a woe. Woe is me.
Oh, fucking
I engineered a woe in yeah. that you brought a pedo along the five aside. He was a pedo. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Where else is jumping
just
out?
Just to clarify, you bought a pedo along the five aside, but it's not in the top 10 in 1993. That's one of your...
No, sorry about that.
Either of you want to scream number 9?
Are we still... What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
It's another song that can only be screamed. It's like every police song ever. Giant steps are what you take. Fucking take it down or not. Walking on the moon.
Just...
He needed to just turn his mic up a little bit and calm down.
Dear. I quite like Hadaway.
Hadaway?
Do you know, I was working for my old man around this time. And they had Capital Radio on all the time. And I just got fucking battered into submission with Hadaway. Just heard it so much that I ended up liking it.
Was that the tampons advert?
No, that was Dr. Alban.
It's my life. That's a loud one.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. It's my life.
Shall we move on to 1994? I mean, Wet, Wet, Wet back in there.
That was another Bryan Adams, wasn't it? It was number one forever, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the longest. I swear you've already sung tonight, haven't you? In your erection.
That would have been in a pizzazz fucking erection section, wouldn't it?
Meet the Flintstones, the BC-52s.
Oh,
how the mighty have fallen.
I wish the B-52s would have just let that one go.
Yeah.
You wish you'd have been in the car with the London boys.
Warren G and Nate Dogg regulate.
How's that
absolute
go?
Banger.
I'll get very sketchy from about 1904.
It's the beardiest vocal ever. Michael McDonald's.
So what, they sampled it?
Yeah.
They sampled that, yeah. It's a banger.
I'd like to talk about, well, first of all, Searching by China Black. They were chancers, weren't they?
Yeah.
Searching.
Were they called China Black? They had a Chinese bloke and a black bloke.
Surely not.
No, see, that's a serious question.
No,
they can't be.
Right, can you just Google them and just see what they look like? And then Pip can decide whether to take that bit out of the podcast or not.
Aswad Shine.
I see, I like Shine.
Shine's a good song.
How's that one go? Shine.
Shine like a star. Shining so bright.
Like the star that you are. See, I saw...
Whoa! Was there wows
on
that?
There's a wow. There's a wow in it.
I see Aswad a couple of times supporting Madness and...
You see, that sentence could have ended with in Tesco's. It could have gone either way, that. I see Aswad a couple of times down Civic Hall. Aswad, they had some songs.
They when they supported Madness, they brought Don Penn on and done No, oh, No, wow. No. And
oh,
it was
he would
just...
have been all over that. Oh, that was his trademark song at Lizards.
Oh, was it?
That was his, yeah. You knew Stu's set was on when you did.
That's an intro, isn't it?
The band took its name from the different backgrounds of its members. Fung, who is British Chinese, China, and Reed, who is of Jamaican heritage, black.
Buddy Peace, we don't have to edit it out. Hey!
Searching.
PJ and Duncan, let's get ready to rumble.
Ready, ready.
I loved it at the time. I was very excited. Clearly a Biker Grove fan. Delighted that PJ had recovered from his blindness.
Terrifying.
And here to sing. Here to sing for us.
Who could have predicted at the time, though? Mate, they would go on to be the biggest stars on British TV.
Particularly the single after this. Like, I'm sure I sent it to you the other day. Someone sent me one of their other videos, and they had a few singles after this, and they are honestly the worst things you've ever seen. Like, unbelievably bad. And then, yeah, they go on to be.
So did they do anything, any of the other singles?
No, absolute flops, because they were truly awful. Because that one was big, even though it was awful, if you know what I mean. Like, in the video, they're not cool, but they're acting as if they're cool, and it worked. And
it worked on the same level as the Anfield rap. Just like, it's fucking dreadful, but there's a pre-sold franchise and they're sending it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. On to 95?
Yes.
I'm just waiting for one of you to see number two and get really loud again.
Boom, boom, boom!
Well.
Hey-o.
Out here, brothers. I remember that coming out and being an absolute banger at the time. Everyone loved that.
So we're now getting in the realms of Britpop, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's mad. I hate...
Go on.
I ain't Britpop. I hate Kiss From A Rose.
I love Kiss From
Kiss
A
From
Rose.
Kiss From A Rose gets parked up next to bloody Linda Perry.
Right. You've got a choice.
Right.
Do you want Kiss From A Rose or do you want Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me?
Seal's all right.
See? Exactly. Exactly. And that was at number seven. And they're both from Batman, right?
Oh, yeah, they were, weren't they?
Yeah. That's why I'm bunching them together. But that's a piece of shit song. Whereas Kiss From A Rose, I fucking love that. That Batman, so how old was I here? 14. We had our first ever holiday to America, and we went to Florida for Disneyland.
Well,
and
you were spoiled like him.
We went to a drive-in cinema and saw Batman, and having Kiss From A Rose in your little speakers in your car. Oh, it's beautiful.
That's a moment, isn't
it's
it?
It's a good song, that. Yeah, it's lovely.
Do you go to a drive-in when you went to Florida?
Yeah, the Bird King. It was amazing. You got this little plastic toy of your meal. It was cheaper. When I went to America in 1981, it was cheaper to fly with Freddie Laker to America and go for 2 weeks in America than to buy a Millennium Falcon.
Awesome.
Right.
Fact check it.
It feels weird to me that I was 14 when All Right by Supergrass came out.
Yeah.
How weird does it feel to you?
I was playing it in clubs.
Exactly. I was going to say, that doesn't feel like that was... I feel like that was in my kind of clubbing era.
I saw Supergrass on the Glastonbury footage a couple of weeks ago. They've got fucking loads of good songs.
Yeah, they've got loads
of good
songs.
And they were fucking brilliant. Like every song you play, it's like, oh, I forgot about that one. Sun Hits the Sky, Richard III, Caught by the Fuzz, Lenny, Man-Sized Rooster... Caught by the Fuzz, he's urgent, isn't it?
Yeah, he's urgent, isn't it? Man-Sized Rooster gets a bit urgent as well, doesn't it?
Lenny. Bam, 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 bam. Richard III's urgent.
Yeah, turd.
Should we go on to 96, or is there anything in there you want to dig into?
In the Name of the Father, I like the one before that. What's the first single?
Reverend Black Grape.
Yeah. Oh, come on, you faithful.
Have you heard Black Grape lately?
No, I bet it's terrible.
I can imagine it's one of them ones that was good at the time.
Little shout out to Paul Ryder, who unfortunately passed away day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
A girl like you, Edwyn Collins. Edwyn Collins, obviously, the face and the voice of Orange Juice.
That's a song you can do loudly. Never do the go like
it's
you
club,
before.
It's club singing, though, isn't it? It's all like, you knit me like
yeah,
you.
It's and ultimate like, Vic Rose
yeah,
club
it's
singing.
Perfect.
Isn't it?
It's perfect for it.
Never.
Oh, dear. How good is it that Vic's got his own fucking style of singing?
Yeah.
Like, you can do that in a Vic Reeves style.
How bad is it for Edwyn Collins, though?
Yes.
That Vic Reeves has got his own style of singing? Because, again, that is just... That is that song. 96, Stu, bad time for you, I guess, at number one. I know you're not a fan of the Spice Girls. And Wannabe kicked it all off. Again, you've got to think, I was 15 at this point.
Yeah.
At an all-boys school. This was the talk of the fucking school. These five sexy girls jumping on tables.
They get you out of trouble.
Kicking stuff, exactly. I loved it. Oh, no, I hated it because I was a little alternative kid. Yeah. But I watched the video anytime it came off.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not going to fight it. Fugees were killing me softly at number two.
Yeah.
It's a banger, isn't it? The Fugees are a weird one because they've made bangers on that one record. But
and then just walked away.
Yeah.
Well, Lauryn Hill obviously had a huge... Well, no, she didn't have a huge solo career, did she? She had The Miseducation, which was multiple Grammy-winning, amazing fucking record. And what did Westlife do?
He popped off to do a song with The Rock.
And
it doesn't matter.
He done that I'll Be Gone to November song, or whatever it was called. But
I think it was called I'll Be Gone to November, from memory.
But when you think how fucking big the Fugees were,
yeah,
to just kind of go, nah, let's just do what... I mean, they must have had a big old Barney, I imagine.
What was that Praz one? Praz had one big song, God, didn't
what
he?
What was that? I can't remember.
Oh, it was good as well. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
I can't believe Mysterious Girl by Peter Andre was 1996. I thought it was way earlier than that.
Yeah, it feels a lot earlier, doesn't it? That, at the same time as Killing Me Softly, feels ridiculous.
What happened to Bubble of Ranks?
No idea.
No one ever asks about him nowadays, do they?
Peter Andre featuring Bubble of Ranks.
Long forgotten.
What did he do on the song?
I've no idea. Must have done a rap. Everyone had a rap in the middle at that point, didn't they?
Yeah. Born Slippy's a fucking great
song.
That's
an intro.
That's a fucking intro. The song is an intro.
If you play that it's in one club, intro. That intro...
That's a toilet song.
Yeah.
That's a good toilet song.
That gets hands in the air.
Although it's a tough one because you never really know when it's close to ending. Because once it builds in, it's just that once for a long time.
Carl gets on that. But you think, he's got a good 10 minutes yet. But like,
you just need to go for a piss and do it. Don't get fooled into thinking you can have a sit down piss and it turn into a shit.
100%. Have a stand up and get back before lager.
Yeah. Lager love shit.
What else we got here?
It's clearly the point.
Be the Macarena. Macarena.
We've found the middle ground between La Bamba and Mamba Number Five. It's the Macarena.
We're doing Who Do You Think You Are? Yeah. It's in the family tree. Definitely Uncle Macarena.
How weird is that though? Because that's clearly like some old song that a load of old boys did. Then someone put a dance beat under it, and these old boys are touring the world going on top of the pops. Three old boys on top of the pops going.
It's got to be a holiday song, isn't it?
That's sort of no different.
Holiday song all over it.
What McLaren did though, is it?
That one. It's like their holiday song.
Yeah, the ketchup song.
That you hear on holiday and come back and they have a summer of like being played everywhere.
And you have no idea what any of the words are apart from the title.
I love
100%.
I love that we've just established that my holiday song was Kiss from a Rose by Seal. Very different holiday. Very different holiday.
Yeah.
High State of Consciousness was jumping out there because that and Born Slippy, it feels like this is when rave stuff was properly getting in the charts, but it was still credible.
Yeah.
Like these were two credible songs that were getting high in the charts.
Number 10. Was you a fan of Forever Love by Gary Barlow?
I couldn't tell you how it goes. Do you know?
Nope, but that was
you
his.
You do know.
No, I don't. Just because I saved the police officer and
you know all this stuff. You're angling for a fucking OBE. You must know Barlow's back catalogue because you ain't going to get an OBE
It's a beautiful piano ballad. Sort of in Ed Sheeran and Bright. It's lovely.
It's just edging your bets. I could have told you that about it.
Has he told you he's planning on climbing a mountain for charity?
I don't want to talk about it.
We'll get into it enough.
I don't want to talk about it, mate. There's a lot of injustice in the world at the moment.
There'll be a film made about it. The fucking idiot who climbed a mountain and come down on a stretcher.
I want to quickly mention...
I just love the idea that it's just going to be a fucking mountain rescue helicopter and me just on a fucking stretcher just playing fucking... I said, hey, what's going on?
I want to touch upon Alanis Morissette here because I loved Alanis on those first two records, and then I thought it was the cringiest shit ever for years. I've gone back round again. I now thoroughly enjoy a bit of Alanis.
Well, she's just sold out like a mega tour, hasn't she? Yeah. She played like however many nights at the O2. And when
there was an anniversary thing, wasn't it? I'm sure it was some kind of... No, it can't be.
30 years of Jagged Little Pill? 92? No, 96? No, I don't know, 25? I don't know what it was.
They do 35-year anniversaries as well and 25-year anniversaries. Yeah. They do the middle
maybe
ones
maybe a
as well.
25.
Rescheduled. Yeah. But I do... I remember when I first heard You Ought to Know and there was so much hype about her.
It was exciting, man. Like, her delivery and everything was fucking...
But I didn't really like You Ought to Know.
No.
Because we was DJing at the time.
Yeah.
You were at the Coalface and there was lots of indie rotters that had been spurned by people they'd met in clubs in previous weeks.
Yeah.
And they were taking that out on the dance floor. It was the indie I Will Survive.
Yeah.
100%. And also, as I've said before in a drunk cast, Alanis was to girls of that era as Eddie Vedder was to guys of that era. Everyone thought that they could sing like Eddie Vedder. Every girl thought they could sing like Alanis.
Yeah.
They often couldn't, but they had those such weird distinctive voices that weren't your traditional here's how you sing, that everyone would be doing a don't call me daughter. Just belting it out. But
yeah,
I love it. But I've touched upon it because we come to the next year and we burnt out. I mean, we started on this page with Four Non-Blondes. Not a great situation. We've gone to Alanis and now we've got Bitch by Meredith Brooks. And that felt like a proper... I was excited about it at the time, but it felt like a proper... This is a one-off. This is a cash-in on angsty women getting having a good sing-along.
God, do you know what? That ain't a good top 10.
It's not. Right. 97. I'll be missing you, Puff Daddy and Faith Evans. I mean, Peter Andre of All About Us. It's not even...
Straight in at number 3.
Yeah. Everybody by Backstreet Boys is a fucking tune.
Everybody.
Biggie in there? No, Biggie's a Notorious B.I.G. Charting is exciting.
What's Picture You by Boyzone?
No idea, but... See You When You Get but There Biggie, by Coolio.
Biggie's only charted because he croaked.
Yeah.
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 Because you got the Puff Daddy at number 1, haven't you?
Yeah. With I'll Be Missing. Yeah, 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 of course.
It's a sympathy chart.
Yeah. It's a sympathy charting.
Bitch by Meredith Brooks is a terrible
And
record,
I wonder if
it?
The Coolio one was related at all. Because that was a dead mate song, wasn't it? I'll see you when you get there. If you ever get there.
Oh, yeah.
See you when you get there. So I wonder if that's also related to
Biggie Dye. I mean? He's not one of Oasis' his better singles either.
Can't even think of that. No, can't even no think of that number 10.
Other people right here, right now.
All right, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I thought that was by Embrace.
Are you good, good people?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's. I mean, just what we can see from this is music hasn't improved as time has gone on. Because we're now jumping forward to 2001. Because I thought, oh, look, right, well, let's look at what was number one when I turned 20.
Right.
I'm, like, becoming a grown-up. You've got Eternal Flame by Atomic Kitten. You've got Robbie Williams in there with Eternity and The Road to Mandalay. You've got Wyclef with Perfect Gentleman.
Oh, Wyclef was Westlife in Fugees or was Westlife in...
Who's Westlife?
Black
I have
IPs.
No idea. Westlife were a band, weren't they?
No. When Wyclef Jean guested with Tom Jones on the Brit Awards, it was so good because he was doing Sex Bomb, Sex Bomb. All right. And we're going to bring out on stage now Westlife. And it was Wyclef. It was so horrible. So I've called Wyclef Jean Westlife ever since.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
So why? We both looked at each other when you said Westlife and you gave a little wink. I was like,
no.
Don't know what he's winking about.
There you go.
Yeah, he was in the Fugees.
He was Fugees, wasn't he?
Will I Am was Black Eyed Peas.
I hate Will I Am.
But I mean, number 8, the main reason this one's in there is number 8. I genuinely enjoyed this at the time because I was going to alternative clubs. Heaven is a Half Pipe by OPM. Absolute dog shit. If I die before I wake, at least in heaven I can skate.
I never played that at the Brush and I got asked for that a lot, but I just refused.
The beat was a skateboard going.
It was a terrible, terrible record.
So bad. And OPM, I think, were the ones who were really religious, right?
Were they?
I think they were one of the... No, no, who was...
POV.
I'm thinking of PO...
Yeah.
Was it POV? Was that
POD. POD.
POD, yeah. Payable upon death.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah, payable upon death. Yeah, I was all over Heaven is a Half Pipe because I wished I could skate. I'm too long, though. I could never skate. I'm too long to skate.
No, I didn't have the coordination either. Did you ever get on a skateboard?
Yeah, I remember going to Rec Hills and we used to, like, me, Chris and Nick would go out on, like, and have a little skate around the ice rink.
No, you did. That was Chris and Nick. Did. You no, ain't it been wasn't, on a skateboard.
Where's my skateboard that Chris has got me? It's literally just out there.
Yeah, I don't mean you can do it.
I'm a rad guy.
You ain't.
Rad dad. Rad dad.
I've never seen him on a skateboard. Have you seen him on a skateboard?
I can't even imagine him on a skateboard. I can imagine him carrying one.
Yeah, definitely. He's out on backwards, just look cool. Humming Heaven is a Half Pipe.
I'm going to fucking fight you by the means of delay!
Is there anything else that you want to talk about in this? I think we've covered all the main ones. It's good to see Destiny's Child in there. I'm a big, big Beyonce fan. Bootylicious. Sexy song.
How does that start?
I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
That's not a digga digga digga.
Yeah, it is that one. Yeah.
That's the sample of Edge of 17, isn't it? By Stevie Nicks. Digga,
Beyonce. Digga, 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 digga,
digga. Oh, I don't know. Can you handle this? Yeah. Feel like the writing. Yeah.
I don't think you can handle this. Purple Pills by D12 and Eminem.
What's the little melody on that one? That was a big D12 song, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember how it goes.
I can't think. I know that song. Again, I loved that at the time.
Yeah, that was big.
I can't think at all. It's too long into the night. All or Nothing by O-Town.
How's that?
It was one of the second wave of your R&B type. Yeah, it wasn't great.
What was the banner? Come, my lady, come, my lady, be my butterfly. Was that O-Town?
No, that was... no. Who was that?
come, lady, be my...
That was Crazy Town.
Crazy Town.
Crazy that Town.
That weren't that crazy, really, was it?
The rapper guy in it was very muscular and very tattooed, so that was quite crazy.
That's fairly crazy.
Fairly crazy.
A lot bit of Lady Marmalade.
Free your Lady Marmalade!
I mean, he'll shout anything at this stage.
I've had a couple of beers, haven't I? It's your birthday.
Yeah, I remember that being a very sexy video because it was
Moulin Rouge,
wasn't it? And it was Pink, Maya, Lil' Kim. Mia or Maya and Christina Aguilera?
Was it Maya? I don't know. Because there was MIA as well, so it got a little bit confusing, didn't it?
It did get a bit confusing. Yeah, I didn't know it was a great song.
Voulez-vous que j'aille avec moi?
I remember Rigsby saying that in my show. Voulez-vous? Couché avec moi ce soir, Miss Jones.
Did you say that, Miss Jones?
Yeah.
There we go. There's all our music. If you can pick one year, what year would it be? I've thrown that upon you at the last minute to stop us ending on the sad note of OPM, Heaven is a Half Pipe.
I think it would have to be 83, but you didn't include that.
Yeah, there's 83.
Yeah, you did.
I'm going 84. Because of Prince, Lauper, Grandmaster Flash, Double Frankie, Tina Turner.
Do you know
love
what?
A bit of Tina.
I'm going to go 86.
I was going to say, don't go 86.
Because I've just managed to squint my eyes enough to see what was in it. We've got So Macho by Sunita.
Yeah.
She was number one in my late 80s wank bank. And Camouflage by Stan Ridgway, the greatest song of the whole 80s.
We were having a look at these earlier and I said, who the fuck's Stan Ridgway? And he said, don't say that around, cunt. So, who the fuck's Stan Ridgway? I'm not...
Oh, you'd love Stan Ridgway.
You played that song and it had a fucking long, boring intro,
it
didn't it?
It did have a long intro.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Camouflage.
Yeah, but it's not boring just because it's long. It's like saying to a girl, like, sorry about me, cock, it's really boring.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That's both parts of the birthday special. Thank you for tuning in, man. And thank you for all the support year on, year in, year out. Check out the new podcast, Tell Me About It, with Scroobius Pip and Stuart Whiffin. Check out Acceptable in the 80s with Stuart Whiffin and Cunt and the Gang. And check me out next week, where I'll be back with an amazing pair of guests and some very exciting news. There is a huge announcement next week. I'm going to build it up right now because I want you to get excited. But there's a big announcement at the start of next week's episode, basically. So I'll see you then. Until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.